The deadliest mass shooting in the United States so far this year took place this weekend in Buffalo in New York State. 10 people were killed in and around a supermarket in what authorities are calling a racist hate crime. The attacker, dressed in military gear, drove into the car park at Tops Friendly Market in Buffalo and began live streaming his rampage via a camera on his helmet. An 18-year-old white man has pleaded not guilty to murder. Professor Matthew Williams is the author of the book The Science of Hate, and he joins me on the programme. Professor, what a horrible story. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, incredibly depressing.
I don't know whether we can hear you very well. I wonder if there's anything you can do to improve the quality of the reception.
Hello, can you hear me now?
I think a little better. So what do we know about this attacker so far?
Well, he did upload a manifesto to the internet a few days before, and that's where a lot of this information is actually coming from. He does claim to have been solely radicalized online on a fringe website known as 4chan, which is home to sort of far radical extremists. And ultimately, it's more evidence, unfortunately, that the radicalization process can now occur purely online. We've seen it before in Christchurch and Pittsburgh, and now again in Buffalo, New York.
Yes, but I don't. Are we surprised about that? I mean, has that not been going on for a long while now? That you know, we hear about it because kind of, I don't know, let's say a sort of disaffected young person who doesn't fit in socially, is lonely, is whatever, and then is susceptible to this kind of thing online. I mean, we think it's happened in this country a great deal. We're not surprised to hear it's happened there as well, are we?
Well, traditionally speaking, radicalization usually requires some form of physical contact offline, and that's what the literature tends to tell us. But I think this is another warning to not only parents of children, but also to government, for example, that the online sphere is something that still needs to be regulated in this sense. So ultimately, you know, we have the online safety bill that's currently going through Parliament, and one of the things that bill doesn't do is address fringe sites such as 4chan that are essentially breeding grounds for terrorists of this nature.
What about the platform that live streamed this? Could they or should they have taken responsibility? Should they now take responsibility for having permitted this, or was it all over in such a quick flash that there was nothing they could have done?
Twitch, I think, was the platform where it was live streamed. It's very popular amongst gamers, so it tends to live stream gameplay from those playing online games.
Yes.
It is incredibly difficult to check real-time footage in the moment for these companies. Even though this company is owned by Amazon and have vast resources, as you could imagine, it's still proving incredibly difficult to monitor content being live-streamed. They've had issues in the past with hate and bullying and harassment on the site, and they've addressed those with certain policies, I think as far back as 2018 and again in 2020. But technically speaking, even though we might think it could be possible to pick up this kind of content in the first few seconds of broadcast, they do increasingly rely on reports from their users. So it's quite reactive very often, especially with live streaming video. So even with all the resources that Twitch will have via Amazon, it's still incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to take down a video of this nature within seconds. It usually takes minutes. But unfortunately, that's obviously too late. And folks have already seen the really disturbing video. And then it's being recorded and then distributed on other platforms across the internet and consumed by like-minded individuals. So I do have some sympathy with the technical platforms in the sense that, technically speaking, it's incredibly difficult to actually achieve it.
Will the online safety bill have any impact on stopping that kind of a thing?
Well, obviously, the UK is, with other countries like Germany, is leading the way in terms of online safety legislation. But unfortunately, even though we've gone through several iterations of the online safety bill, it only really focuses on the major platforms such as Twitter and Facebook. It's got a particular clause in the current draft that specifies that it only deals with what they call Category 1 platforms. And they are the largest platforms we currently have. Mm. So sites like 4chan, BitChute, and other more extreme sites fall outside of the legislation, meaning that it has no teeth in relation to probably the most risky sites on the internet. Now, this is something that could change. they could decide to change that element of the bill to include these kinds of sites. Now, with acts like this occurring with increasing frequency, which is incredibly depressing, I think it'll add additional pressure onto the lawmakers here to include such sites. But currently it doesn't include such sites.
And Sadiq Khan was named by this 18-year-old. How does that work, would you say? Obviously you can't imagine this fellow's thought processes, but that's a surprising person of given the entire world that he mentions the mayor of London, isn't it? Or maybe you don't think so.
It does sound quite strange. But I mean, if we remember back a few years ago, Sadiq and then President Trump were in a bit of a spat online. And I think that generated a lot of attention in these alt-right and far-right channels on social media. Sadiq Khan has become a figure that's quite well known in those circles because of that interaction. And obviously, he's standing up in direct opposition to the kinds of values and ideologies that are shared online in these far-right an extreme right group. So I'm not surprised he was mentioned, but ultimately it's easily explainable in terms of that spat that was had between the two of them a few years ago.
Well, thank you very much indeed for talking to us about it. That's Professor Matthew Williams, author of the book The Science of Hate. Well,